Hi, it's Dave O'Neill. Thanks for listening to The Debrief. And if you enjoy it, why don't you vote for this podcast in the Podcast Awards? Wow, imagine that. It'd be like winning a Logie, but just better. So there is a link in the description of this podcast. So go to the link, vote for this podcast, and we'll all be winners. I'll share the prize with you. Don't know if you win anything, actually. Probably an award that they got from a trophy shop. But hey, as we say, competitions are rubbish, but when you win one, they're awesome. So go and vote. All right, yeah, we'll be in touch. welcome to The Debrief. It's Dave O'Neill here. We're just sitting outside the... where are we? The Sale Football Club. The old Collegians.
Yes.
Yeah.
Collegians football. No, it's a cricket club.
Cricket club.
Cricket club. I've got...
Cricket and netball club.
I've got Nick Capper in the front and Dave Tolk in the back.
Not sure why.
Oh. Well, because, Capper, you've been in the back before, haven't you?
Yeah, I was in the back before, I think, the last step. No, with Tolk.
With Tolk? Oh, yeah, we've swapped.
That was after Moe, yeah.
That was after Moe. We're big in the valley, us guys.
We are so big in the valley.
And so we've come down to do the Collegians Cricket Club on a Saturday night, and we get there, and it's an outdoor gig, which is not ideal, is it?
There's a fire pit up the back.
Yeah, and we were doing the gig on the porch. But
I liked it, to be honest.
We had Tolkien emceeing.
Yeah, but I liked the way it was. It was just, you know, country.
Oh, man. And, yeah, it was so nice on out there.
They don't have any pretenses, Dave. They didn't care that we weren't inside. And,
no.
Yeah.
That would greatly enhance our performance. All they thought about was it's comfy outside.
Yeah,
and, fire
pit. Yeah, yeah. They just thought about themselves. Yeah.
Mate,
guys, get on with the chat. Hurry up. I'm bored talking to my husband.
Oh, but it was a great gig, actually. And Tolkey, as the MC,
yeah, it was great.
Smashed it.
Well, you know.
Lit it up, mate.
He lit it up.
No, it was fun, though. They were fun. But they were all age, Dave, to be honest. You know,
they were middle-aged. But a few of them had their teenagers there.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Well, which is always good for humour reasons.
We had Noah there. He was lovely.
14. Noah was 14.
I think I learnt tonight made me realise I've probably learnt. Sorry, mate, that's me that stinks.
No, I can't. No, I'm not smelling you. I'm looking at my microphone.
Oh, you're looking at your microphone.
You're wearing my shirt too.
Yeah,
stinks in your shirt.
I had to lend cap on my shirt.
Yeah,
it fits surprisingly well, Dave, which is weird.
Yeah, you know, I don't think of you as fat, but maybe you are fat.
Yeah, it looks a little too small if you ask me.
Hey, this is coming from Tolk.
What are we doing here?
Listen, wait a minute. I still have fucking eyes, regardless of how fat I am.
The fat hasn't closed over his eyes yet. Not yet.
I think I've learnt a few things from the School of Comedy with Dave O'Neill.
And Dave Tolk.
Yeah.
Yeah, what's that?
No, he didn't say that. No, but
the reason I didn't say that, because I think Dave Tolk has learned this from the School of Comedy of Dave O'Neill as well.
Possibly.
And that is, no matter how bad the gig is, smile, be yourself, and plow on.
Yes. Yeah, pretend you... I always say pretend you're having a great time.
Yeah.
See that you were doing that tonight, Dave. It was fantastic.
I was pretending.
You're the king at that. You're the absolute king.
I know. I was actually having a good time. They were great. Yeah,
they were a really good crowd.
I kept forgetting that guy's name. Was it Dicko or Coco?
Coco.
Coco looked like Barry Hall.
He didn't. Yeah, the football. Absolutely, yeah.
Scaffolding. Yeah. He worked in scaffolding. Yeah, and he's from Maffra. Now he lives in Sale. Now, for people that know, Maffra is not that far from Sale, but they're rivals.
Yep.
And what did I say? He goes, I just live here, mate. He had this classic Aussie statement. I said, so what, do you live in... He goes, I just live here, mate. What does that mean? Anyway. Did you meet Will Anderson's cousin?
No.
Yeah, Will Anderson's cousin was there.
Oh, really?
Because Will's from here. He was... This guy was an Anderson. Yeah, he was an Anderson.
Oh, really?
His dad is Will's dad's brother. So...
Wow.
Yeah.
What a connection.
Every time I come to Sale, I meet one of Will Anderson's cousins.
Yeah. Oh, man, and the comedy tonight, he really brought that with him in spirit.
Will Anderson. I felt he was there with us at the Sale.
Well, it was a couple
of times. He would have loved it. Imagine though going on with Will Anderson and Sale. He'd just be hitting the local references, you know, fucking bang this and that shop in the street and the butcher shop, and you'd just be sitting there going,
So like your gig at the what is it?
my gig at the Grandview.
Yeah.
It's still the local references.
Yeah. You smashed those though.
Oh yeah.
No, the school, local school, local nightclub.
Nightclubs. Well, I even know the nightclub around here. It's the Astrodome.
Yeah.
In Traralgon.
Here now, there seems to be nothing happening.
In Sale or
we're still
no? But we didn't actually go into the town of Sale. We just got to the outskirts. Sale's really nice, but Sale's part of the La Trobe Valley. But Sale's always thought themselves as a bit better than Traralgon and Mowi and Morwell.
Oh right.
Yeah, because they're not power towns. They're more farming and stuff around here.
Mm.
Military. There was an Air Force guy, Graham, sitting down the front in his cargo pants.
He was too. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a classic.
He had the American GI haircut.
Yeah, well, didn't he? What?
Yeah.
And he said he's been fighting in the UAE, the United Arab Emirates.
What, for better oil?
Really?
Oh,
fuck.
I said, I didn't know we were at war with them, right?
Yeah.
No, they're Arabs, and that's
what's going on?
Well, don't feed the salt. It's too much information. It's not important, is it?
No, it's not cool.
It's really funny, because as we all know, guys, I'm not from around here. Yeah. So
You are from the country.
Yeah, I'm from the country, I didn't... Yeah, I'm from Mars, actually. Explains my...
look at this other arm.
Explains my self-awareness. But I did... You know, we were talking about it before. Last time we did the podcast, we just did the gig in Mowi.
Yeah, which and is from, near
from,
here.
Yeah, and from that gig, a bloke called Shane, who lives in Traralgon, rang you up to do a gig at his engagement party.
Yeah, I didn't want to do it.
And you didn't want to do it, so you passed it on to me. And then I came up here to Traralgon, and he said, I had no idea where Traralgon was. I just jumped on the train, came up here. And I said, what are you into, mate? And he said, like, so I could rip on him for his engagement party.
Yeah.
And I said, he said, oh, I'm into surfing, and I'm also into snowboarding.
Not friends, though.
And what?
I've got zero friends.
Yeah. the joke went good. At the show, but I said, mate, oh wow, you know, you're into. Shane told me he's into surfing and snowboarding. Isn't Traralgon the epicenter of extreme sports? You know, like he chose the right place to live.
Yeah.
But little did I know, after I got drunk with them all after, that it's only 20 minutes from the beach. Yeah. And then it's only 45-30 minutes to the snow.
Yeah.
So really, he is in the epicenter. So now I don't know why they laughed.
I realised you had no idea.
Yeah.
Is this a gig where he gave you black powder to take?
Yeah, he gave me his mate.
So you didn't book a motel. You caught the train down, and you just went, "I'll just stay anywhere."
Yeah, I just thought I'll rough it, and I made it like a bit of a thing on Twitter. Okay, guys, I have taken the train to Traralgon. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know where I'm going to stay tonight. I haven't booked a hotel, anything, and then. And then I thought, no matter... So when you do something like that and you're doing comedy...
Yeah.
You're putting all your chips in.
Because you're
relying that the gig goes well.
Oh, God, yes.
Because if it goes badly...
Yeah.
You've either...
You're not staying anywhere.
You've got nowhere to stay, or you do have somewhere to stay and it's very awkward.
Yeah. Well, like your gig on that cruise ship that you told me about, where you had to hide in the cabin for 2 days.
Mm.
Because if you do a bad gig...
Yep.
The worst thing, seeing the people afterwards.
Oh, man. I think I remember Dave Eastgate telling me he did the Fosse's Christmas party or something like that.
I found it at Fosse's, yeah.
Something like that. And they got him onto a ferry in Sydney, like one of those.
Oh, the worst, yeah.
And they said, he said, okay, where's the stage? And they're like, oh, there's no stage.
Yeah, there's no stage on those boats. I've done those boats, yeah.
And he said, oh, there's no... He's like, where's the microphone? Like, oh, there's no microphone, but we got like a crate... you can stand on or something. And of course, like, excellent comic, but man, he bombed so hard due to the conditions.
Yeah.
They didn't like him at all. And he's like, how long does this boat ride go for? And they go, oh, the next 4 hours.
Oh, it's the worst.
Couldn't get off the boat. Like,
yeah.
I reckon I'd nearly get off and swim.
Oh, man. I did one of those and they said, we're going to get a water taxi to pick you up. And it was like, because the comic had been on before, but you couldn't hear him because of the engine noise. Because the engine was a blah, 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 blah,
blah.
And so I just went up to the crew who were all Russian. I'm like, g'day, guys. Scary looking dudes. And I said, can you turn the engine off when I'm on? They're like, yeah, no problem, no problem. And so I had a really good gig. But I reckon I got to about the 25-minute mark and a water taxi just pulled up next to it and the guy banged on the window and said, Dave O'Neill. I went, yep, and I just jumped in. It was the best ever. Because I did this gig.
James Bond moment.
Oh, I did this gig on a paddle steamer in Mildura on the river for a farming sales company, Elders.
This is excellent.
I've told you this story?
Yeah, you've told me this
And the one. Woman, first off, the... If I tell her before on here, first off, the woman wouldn't give me the mic. She didn't believe I was a comedian. And she had to ring her husband. Yeah, okay, he says you're a comedian. You're not as famous as Dave Hughes or Peter Hall. Yeah, just give me the mic. And then she's like, I said, ask the people. She's the woman behind the bar of the boat. And then they're all blokes, and there was like one woman. And as soon as I got on, and the boat gigs aren't great because you're on a boat, right? But they're covered over. This woman starts arcing up at me. Oh, you're not funny. Anyway, thank fuck she got a call from her mum, right? So she went and stood on the deck, but then she would go like this, hang on a minute, mum, and stick her head in and heckle me. You're still not funny. Sorry, mum, I'm back with you. And then walk back out. Oh, man, yeah, and a guy grabbed me on the nipple, and I nearly fell off the boat, but I had to stay on that boat. That gig went well, but I had to stay on that boat for three hours, and then I was laying in my bed in the motel, and we were all staying in the same place, and I heard the woman outside my door going, he wasn't funny, I made him funny with my heckling. Oh, God. Anyway, so what powder did he give you in Traralgon? What happened?
Oh, well, as soon as I got off, I didn't know.
You did well, though.
Yeah, I did well. And I've got to admit, it was... Because I did well, but after that, I didn't know anybody in the engagement party. So all of his mates are kind of babysitting me. You know, they don't know me.
Yeah.
They don't know who I am or anything. So they're all kind of asking questions. And then his mate comes up, shakes my hand, and there's something in the hand. And I look, and it's like this pouch of Speed or something. So I don't usually engage in this kind of stuff. I do it Meredith Music Festival.
Yeah.
That's my one kind of big Kappa's big night. If you want to see a different Kappa, you go to Meredith Music Festival and you will see me, and I am in outer space.
You're
I'm
Nick
on the
Cooper
moon.
Then? Is that when you really
are? Nick Cooper.
I'm Nick Cooper, yeah. So I took this speed stuff, and I'll tell you what, the night got a whole lot better. There was conversations. I didn't need to know anybody. Everybody. Anyway, everyone was running to the toilets, going crazy on this stuff. And then I got to his house at like 4 or 5 in the morning. I had to scale the fence.
Why?
I was at some other party with some other people. I don't know how.
Some randoms.
Yeah. I remember walking in the rain for a long time.
Fuck.
And
in Traralgon.
In Traralgon, yeah. And... Oh, then I got to the house and Shane goes, oh, you all right, mate? I said, yeah. He goes, have some of this stuff. Doesn't even have it in a bag.
Just like a witch doctor.
Pulls it out of his pocket and just puts this black dust
like
in my
lint.
Hand.
Just like lint.
Lint. Oh,
yeah. It could have been lint. It must have been. He must have been that loaded that his buddy, his lint was getting me high. I don't know what it was, but it was black powder. And he said, lick this.
It was lint, mate. That's what it was.
I licked it and I was on the moon. I was well and truly
gone. What's going on in Traralgon?
Drugs.
Drugs, obviously.
Yeah. Oh.
And then you had to get the train back.
Yeah, so I was dancing in his living room at 6 in the morning. And then Google went off and it said, oh, the first train is out of here. So I just said, oh, see you guys. Catch around. They said, oh, come back for the wedding. And yeah, so I jumped on the train, and then I couldn't sleep on the train, so I just rang everybody I knew. I was still so pumped up.
Oh, man. And how much did he pay you for that gig?
He paid me $400.
$400. Hardly worth it. But what an experience.
Oh, man.
Have you told that story in stand-up?
Oh.
You should tell that story in a festival show.
Yeah.
That is fantastic. Because especially in Melbourne, people will know Traralgon.
Oh, and it's great because I settle in with Melbourne quite well. I'm into all kinds of stuff. But in Traralgon, because I'm from the country, I have so much in common with everybody.
Yeah.
Like this bloke was talking to me about deer hunting. I used to hunt kangaroos, but not deer. You know, I don't really kill living things anymore. I'm not, no, not about it.
As a country boy, you would have done some of it.
I knew all the guns they were talking about. I knew everything, and it became a very good night.
Get any guns out?
Get any guns out? Any shooting?
No. Just a lot of dirt bike talk as well.
Dirt bike.
I'm into motorbikes and dirt bikes, so I was...
Did you used to have posters of cows on your wall, or bulls? This woman was telling me that's what kids, teenagers in the country... They have bulls on the wall. And there were famous bulls in rodeos and stuff.
Oh, right. That was really country. I was never rodeo country. You know, there's families that, and they're cattle country. We were cotton, so...
Cotton picking.
Yeah.
Not a lot of photos of cotton on your wall?
No photos.
Do you know different types of cotton?
No, I don't really know different types of cotton. I know a little bit. I know different types of tractors, though. Love tractors.
Oh, do you?
Yeah, the John Deere 8490 is one of my favourite tractors.
Is that a green one?
Yeah, green. Yeah.
Is it got a cabin or is it no cabin?
No, it's got a cabin. We're not in the Stone Age, mate. You know, Jesus Christ, Tom.
You could have been romanticising about a 1950s tractor.
But it is funny. My dad used to manage it, the biggest cotton farm in the Southern Hemisphere.
Cotton picking.
Hey, enough of your bragging.
Yeah, 40,000 acres. It was huge.
That's a lot of cotton picking.
So what he used to do was, when I worked for him or whatever, when you were hungover, he had the good tractors that had air conditioning, had GPS steering. So they do the steering for you to keep the rows straight, the crop.
Wow.
Crop rows straight.
So what did you need to be there for?
Just to turn the tractor around at the end of the...
Oh, turn it around?
Yeah.
Can't the fucking thing do it itself?
And also lift your rig up. So you got to lift your... If you're ploughing the ground, you got to lift your rig up at the end of the paddock. Yeah.
We all want to lift our rig up in a paddock. Go on.
So you lift your rig up and turn around, then you just switch the GPS back on, it would go great. But if he saw you were hungover... Or you were in the bad books. He put you on this shit fucking 1970s tractor and make you slash the paddocks and you have the smoke blowing in your face. It was
old school.
It was so hot. No radio, nothing. And that was your punishment.
Yeah. Did you listen to the ABC a lot? Was it the only radio station you could pick up? Or?
Oh, we got a bit of Triple J. Sometimes you got Maury, the Heat FM.
The Heat FM.
Man, I once was on stage in Sydney, and I told a joke how, because Moree was, because there's a lot of farm boys out there and stuff, it was a sausage fest. You go to the pub, it was only blokes.
Yeah.
Maybe there was like three or four girls or whatever. And there was this comedian, Simon Kennedy.
Oh, I know Simon Kennedy, yeah.
Yeah. After the set, he said to me,
"All right, what about
hey, mate, you? Are you from Moree?" I said, yeah. He goes, oh, mate, that was amazing. That spoke to me. And I'm like, why? He goes, I was the radio DJ in Moree.
Oh, was he?
Yeah. And he said...
what a job.
Yeah, he said that was one of his first radio jobs. And he said, yeah, you're right. It was a total sausage fest.
Yeah, right.
He said I was one of the only blokes that kind of managed to get a girl there, like a girlfriend. And I said, what happened with that? He goes, I broke up with her. And I said, what, when you broke up with her, what happened? He goes, I left. I left Maury.
You left Maury?
Yeah, he goes, I just left. I didn't want to do the fight anymore.
God.
I didn't want to go on the search anymore. You know,
yeah, it's too much.
Yeah.
Of women in Maury.
I had the one girlfriend and I just left.
Yeah, I'd run out of options in Maury. Well, it's the end of the railway line.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's the end of the line.
Nowhere. Gundawindi's a lot nicer. I was in Boomai, which is between Moree and Gundawindi.
Yeah.
So you go to Gundawindi, it was a lot nicer, but Moree was a bit more corporate, a bit more, I don't know.
More corporate? Yeah, I've done gigs in Moree, I know about it. And I've met the guys from the IGA in Gundawindi.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a
famous note.
What a lucrative career.
Well, no, the IGA is going off.
Yeah.
Gundawindi. Well, now we're stuck with that. Ute's going, it's 60, is it?
Oh, it's got
roadworks.
Yeah.
A bit of roadworks going on, mate, yeah.
Bit of roadworks going on here down in the valley, guys. Give a bit of a traffic update on Saturday night at 11 o'clock.
How's the response to the podcast going so far, David?
Massive. I don't know. Look, we've had over 100,000 downloads.
Oh, that's excellent.
All for your episode, Tolkien. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I'd imagine so, to be honest.
You know. You're in Capra in the back.
I don't really want to, just brag too much, but,
people seem to like it.
Me.
But, I mean, I'm always amazed when I go on Mick Malloy's show and Jane Kennedy's show now. They're on Triple M. They've got a radio show.
Yeah.
And Mick always goes, congratulations on the podcast. Like I've made any effort at all. The only reason I do it is because it's so easy and I'm often driving home from gigs with other comedians.
Yeah, I see.
And it's just, and I still listen to a lot of podcasts, so.
Well, tonight was a bit of an accident. I was doing work at work on a council run farm, and you messaged me and said, do you want to come and do this gig?
Yeah.
And I was on that 86 and I said, yeah, I've just got to go buy a shirt. And then I jumped on the 80s. I said, I'll meet you at Northcote Plaza. And he go, no, I got a bloody shirt for you.
I'll lend you my shirt.
And then lent me the shirt.
I'm going to burn it, but whatever. It's cool.
Man, yeah, look, I reckon once you put it on, you'll be way better.
Oh, yeah. I feel funnier. I feel like I'm connected to the country.
Okay.
Yeah, well, Brad Oakes was meant to originally do the gig, but he pulled out because he's sick. And so I replaced him with two people.
Well,
he's a big boy.
Yeah.
But still, I think one and a half oaks at least.
Yeah, you're a big boy.
Not certainly Southland or Skill, but
we'd had fun and we did well.
It was great fun.
It was good fun.
I'd go back to Sal.
I tell you what, because Oaksy always says, I've done Sal with him before, when we drive out, he always goes, blow the bridges like we're in a war movie. Because you can have some average gigs down there, but that was a really good one.
Yeah,
I've had a few average ones lately, but I had a good one.
You had a great one tonight, though.
Yeah, it was good fun
tonight. You had a great one.
I did an interesting one yesterday. I went to the Berwick Footy Club I did a golf day at Santa's Golf Day for the Les Twentyman Foundation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Golf days are always hard, I reckon, because they're during the day, and golf clubs they've got all those soft furnishings and carpet and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But that went well up to the 20-minute mark when all the food came out, and then just...
You just jumped off stage, started eating, did you?
Oh, man, the woman hold a bowl of chips in front of my face. I'm like...
That's me done, fellas.
That's it. Well, they've been playing golf all morning. They're all blokes. It's like, it's like 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, anyway, I got to wait up. So then I had to go to Berwick. And I walk into Berwick Footy Club and I'm like, oh man, I've been here before. But a long time ago, I've done a gig here, I reckon 20 years ago. You know, and I think, I'm getting vague memories, but it was at night and this was during the day. Anyway, this old bloke comes up and he goes, I'm Cleffy. I've been the president here for 40 years. He's just retired.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, right, okay. He goes, yeah, we had comedians years ago, This young whippersnapper hung shit on me for looking weird. Had a funny look in my eye. And he goes, that's because I've only got one eye. And he pulls off his glasses and he's got a fake eye. And he goes, if I see that guy again, I'm going to bloody give him a hiding, that bloody whippersnapper. And I'm looking at him going, fuck. And then this guy, other guy, my age, comes up and he goes, don't you remember that? That was you. I'm like, bullshit. He goes, nah, it was definitely you. Because I could remember the gig not going well, and I couldn't remember. I remember there was a guy doing the fake laugh. You know when you get...
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
You had it on the cruise ship.
I hate that.
The cruise ship gig I talked about.
Yeah.
Which you may not want to talk about.
No, I'll talk about it.
And when this guy in Berwick, this is 20 years ago, he was doing the...
Like it drives you wild.
Oh, man. I also had a ba-bow in Geelong the other night.
Oh, yeah.
When I did a joke and this guy just goes, ba-bow. But then I nailed him because I said, you're a smart. I said, you a teacher? And he was, and everyone applauded. Like
Mooney told me once that he was in Adelaide, and I think, I don't know if I've discussed it on this podcast. I don't think so.
No.
And he was in Adelaide, and he got up there just way too cocky, and he said he hit him with some very risque material straight up.
Unusual.
He just thought they would be into. And then it was not going good at all. And he said there was this old British lady up the front who just went, you're dying. Very, very quiet. You're dying.
That's awful.
And he just said, he said he kind of agreed with her at the time. He's, you're dying. He goes, what a realization.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I definitely had it on a cruise. But I feel like it brought out this animalistic side in me.
So was it just one guy doing the huh? What was the fake laugh like?
Ha ha ha. And you just, oh my god, because I guess they weren't comedically educated. I reckon they weren't educated. But they also weren't
that bright.
Yeah, they weren't that. One of them asked me what conscription was. I was like, anyone here afraid of conscription? They're like, what's conscription? I was like, you are so dumb. And so
you get on your ball sack, don't you?
Yeah. That's what you get at the chemist, don't you? Yeah.
You're going to need conscription.
Yeah.
I want that straight away.
Oh, God.
But yeah, and so they thought the gig kind of went good. Because they don't know how a good gig goes or a bad gig goes.
Well, they say we were just helping you out, aren't they? I was just helping you out, mate.
And I'm like so friendly towards audience, you know. But these guys, they came to shake my hand after the show, and I pushed the guy in the chest. Pushed him and walked behind the curtain. He's like, came up to shake me. He goes, "Yeah, good work, mate." And I just pushed him away, walked behind the curtain, and there was this kind of balcony kind of where you could exit the stage and just run straight to the room, and that's exactly what I did.
Oh man, good decision.
There's this kind of underground tunnel where you can get to the crew bar, and I got straight there.
Just knocked
it back. And I don't think the crew were entirely used to a comic being so honest about the bomb. Like, so how did tonight go, mate? I go, oh, it was fucking terrible. I really bombed. And they were like, what? I think they used the comics just owning it or whatever. Shit. Yeah, yeah.
No, you best be honest.
I was very, I don't know, you know, you just see some things and you go, I fully respect it. I saw an article on Danny McGinley, how he put on Triple M, how he bombed.
Oh, yeah, at a function for all the Bulldogs players.
Yeah, the function for all the Bulldogs players. And he
loves the Bulldogs.
He loves the Bulldogs. Yeah. He said all his heroes were sitting at the front.
Nothing worse.
And he bombed. And I commented on the article. I was like, big respect to Danny for owning up to this bomb.
Yeah.
I think it's great. And better to the bomb, he also said that he read the room wrong. And he, you know, and it didn't go well. And
I heard him talking about it on Triple M. I almost rang him because I wanted to know the details.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when someone bombs, you want to know what actually happened. Because we've all bombed.
Oh, man,
and you can often pinpoint it to, Eastgate on a boat. Like, you can't win on some of those boats. Yeah. You just can't win. I walk into some gigs and I go, I don't reckon Chris Rock or Amy Schumer would do well here.
Yeah, yeah.
I reckon they'd bomb. This is shit.
Oh, like, man, yeah.
Where people aren't expecting comedy.
Yeah.
No one's paid.
Well, yeah. That's the biggest credit to Talk tonight. It does depend on the MC, because tonight could have gone very badly.
Yeah, because we were on a porch sale in a footy club.
But when you got that experience, we've all got 10 years experience or more, it goes good.
Yeah, well, most times, yeah.
Most
times.
Yeah, sometimes can't win. But
rough ones.
Big credit, Danny. He said that he read the room wrong. Because I was expecting him to say...
So how did he read the room wrong?
I don't know.
Yeah, we got to read.
I reckon he loved them too much.
I would have gone on...
Too much, and he was just,
we can all talk about what we would have done. But some of those footy gigs are so... I did Carlton, and they... On the game day at the MCG, or Eddie had a... Anyway, you have to wear a suit. It's so fucking annoying.
Yeah.
I went and did the old Carltonians in one room. Now, they're all guys my age who are big Carlton fans.
Yeah.
And they were fucking fantastic. Because they're all just blokes sitting around. Mm. And there was the president of the... was getting this chicken wing. And he was just eating it and eating it. And he was a big fat bloke. And I just said, mate, there's no more meat left on that. And everyone just pissed themselves. And then with those gigs, when there's a... I always go... Oh, we got the underbelly table over here. They got like a round of applause. Because Carlton, there's a lot of Greeks and Italians there. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then they take me to the president's lunch, just through a door into the next room.
Yeah.
The president's lunch. There's Chris Judd and his wife, all these Carlton legends. Mm. And it was just fucking hard work. I do the underbelly gag. It went like this. Ooh.
Oh, man.
And the woman afterward goes, oh, we're trying to distance ourselves from the underbelly references. Because those footy gear, they take themselves very seriously. The local clubs like tonight are a lot better than the big clubs.
They would probably suit more a character. or something, like a guy like, hey, I'm dumb, I'm the idiot here.
Yeah.
You know, like a,
yeah.
Oh, we can distance ourselves from this person.
Yeah, yeah,
but if
yeah,
you're
yeah.
if you're calling out things in the room at a football club and they're like, oh, mate, don't say that about him. He's a respected bloke, you know.
Those charges never stuck.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
He just pissed in a pot plant one night at
come
Crown.
On, man.
Come on, he's a good bloke.
Also, comedy is one of the worst words you can use. You're better off almost saying in those situations, we've got a guy up to speak here.
Yeah, it's true.
Yeah,
yeah,
the moment you say comedy, there's so much pressure. He must have been under immense pressure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's awful.
But Danny loves him, that's the thing.
But yeah. Danny, yeah, look, I don't know.
It would have been hard, man.
It would have been hard. They can be very hard.
But
there'd probably no stage. There'd be a microphone, but that'd be it.
Guys, we just went through Wellington. It's got Wellington there.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in New Zealand.
And it's got Wellington, and it's got with an exclamation mark. It's got Wellington.
Wow. Wellington.
Wellington.
And we're out of it now. That's
yeah, we're out of it. It was a bridge. I'm pretty sure it was just a bridge.
Fucking hell, Wellington. Awesome times. Anyway, comedy's tough. That's why
I'm going to say right now, I would have bombed at that gig. I would have bombed, but... I think it is great for a comic to say...
Yeah, to say this happened.
To say, I read the room. Because usually, when I bomb, I don't say that. I go, yeah, this was fucked.
They were fucked.
Yeah. The other night, I had the best... Like, it was a night at a gig at Catfish. One of those nights where it never really takes off. No one does that well.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I don't do that well. And I go, well, you know, the gig's fucked. I'm fucked, but you know, it's fine. I'm a good comic.
Because everyone else is bad.
Everyone else is bad. Yeah, yeah. Then Celia Piccola gets up, smashes it.
Oh yeah, wipes the floor.
Wipes the floor. I'm like, fuck you. And then Sonny DiOrio gets up, smashes it, and I'm like, okay.
Well, they wanted to see women. They didn't want to see you.
No.
Well, they're both good comics.
Their ability is through the roof. So yeah, it's those people that really ruin your spirit.
less good comics.
Yeah.
We need less average ones. No, it's worse when you struggle and someone just gets up and goes, so anyway, I was fucking this sheep the other day, and there's a round of applause. You're like, what happened?
Oh man,
No.
I remember I was in Adelaide once and I was doing a show at the Adelaide Fringe Festival, and I think I got under 10 in every night, and it was a pretty weird kind of show, but the people who came loved it. They were like, I got really good reviews for it and everything, and I thought, once I got the good reviews, I thought, oh yeah, it's going to be great.
It's going to all happen now.
No, everyone's
stayed away still.
But I walked out and this girl came and saw it, and she's like, oh, that was great, Nick. And I said, oh, what show are you doing? And she's like, oh, I'm doing a show after you. It's called Granny Flaps. I dress as an old lady. And then I just do dirty songs. And I was like, oh, yeah, well, that's good. Like, but it's not my kind of thing. And I was thinking, oh, that sounds awful. And then I walk out and she has a queue. Like a queue. Sold out. She sold out like 6 nights in a row. She was the nicest girl. I was like, what the fuck? I should just dress up as an old man, get my dick out. Oh, it was so funny.
Grandpa balls.
Grandpa
nuts.
It was so
funny. Oh, man. I did Adelaide Fringe once, and they used to have those. And you know when you give away some free tickets?
Mm.
And so I gave away some free tickets. I didn't know at the time, but they were street kids. They were about 14, 15.
Yeah.
And so they turn up, they sit down the front, and they start heckling me. I'm like, guys, I gave you free tickets. I know who you are, all right? Because I kind of friendly kids on the street. And then I said, hey, if I give you $20 to go to Macca's, will you fuck off? And they talk to each other. Yeah, all right. So they take the money. Everyone claps as they leave, right? Because they're just annoying teenage kids. Fucking 15 minutes later, they walk back in with their Macca's. They come and sit down the front. Oh, I'm like, guys, the agreement wasn't that you come back. Adelaide.
I remember I went there the first year, and I lost. You know,
you lose money.
I lost $1,000 or $1,500 at least.
and have a look around for it though?
Yeah. Have a good look around. And but I came back to Sydney. I was living in Sydney at the time. I came back a way better comic. I was
better. Yeah, of course, it makes you better.
I was doing 6 or 7 spots or whatever. You know, I was doing 2 spots a night after I do my show. And then, so I thought, okay, I was working at a bank at the time. I was earning a fair bit of money. So I said, I'll do that the next year. And then I got, the next room I got, it wasn't in a pub. It was in a tent somewhere. And I did this tent gig and it was just a struggle.
Yeah.
And I came back a worse comic.
Oh, really?
I had like 5 to 10 people in a night. It just broke me.
It can kill your confidence.
Mentally, yeah. It was a lot of piss.
What time?
Like,
were you on late or?
I can't remember when I was on, but it was like a little, they had the garden where everyone went to, and they had this kind of offshoot of the garden. The worst people went to in the world. And so.
People that got lost.
Oh, man.
Was it called gluttony or something?
Yeah,
I think
so.
Yeah. I got off at a shipping container there once.
I
don't want to do that.
Same thing as granny flaps. I remember once I was performing to 10 pissed people that I gave them free tickets and they ruined the whole show the whole night. It was no good. The whole show was shit.
Probably those street kids have grown up.
Yeah, you know? Sorry,
you gave the tickets, mate. Come on.
Yeah, and then I looked out and there was a queue again. I was like, who's that for? It must be someone big like Arch Barker or something. It's like, for nude magicians?
Oh, yeah, they were big for a while.
Magicians.
Yeah,
and I was like, okay, I should just get nude grandpa balls.
Coming now. Well, you're listening to The Debrief with Nick Kappa. Talkies in the back. It's all going on.
Hi there, I'm Carl Quinn.
Hi, I'm Andrew Young. We are The Clappers, your source for all kinds of sauce when it comes to cultural entertainment in the podcasting style.
That's us. We're The Clappers.
You can listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, and you know where that is.
We've been a sail. We've triumphed. We're driving back.
So, Tolkien.
Yeah, man.
O'Neill and I were waiting in the car, and you were talking a fair bit to the blokes.
Yes.
What? Were you ready to settle in? Was Tolkien ready to move to sail?
No, I don't want to live in sail. Obviously, that's not my goal at all. But what was happening was the people being not nice to me. And I was just really soaking that up because, you know, it's something...
Doesn't happen that often?
Well,
or?
Not really, to be honest. I don't know, it seems like the crybaby in the back of the car. But, you know, sometimes it's just nice to be appreciated for what you do.
Yeah. And you were very good and you're very funny.
I mean, what I'm
very
saying,
good.
Like, I really pushed myself into that crowd. They weren't keen for me to be there, but, you know, assistance pays off. That's what I'm saying. I smashed him into a conversation, you know. Assaulted one of the other guys.
Hey, mate, they loved
you. And then you came and saved me, and here we are in the car, and I'm like,
we escaped.
That was it. Well, you know, like the time you said when you got beaten at a comedy club, Dave.
So. Yeah, almost bashed. Yeah.
I was being loved, and I was taken away from that, but...
I did pick the wrong guy. So I was at a club on a Saturday night and he had neck tattoos and he was from a rough neighbourhood and it was my third gig for the night, so I was kind of on a bit of a high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was going really well, but then I kept bantering with this guy and then his girlfriend got up and left. I went, "Oh, your girlfriend's gone, mate," which then he got very angry. He sort of changed and then I said, "Oh, this gig's been a bit of a trial." I looked and I went, "You'd know all about them, wouldn't you, mate?" And then he really turned. Anyway, I went off the stage, the MC went back on, and I went and got my jumper and water bottle, and I walked back on the stage pretending I was doing an encore. And there were people going, "More." I went, "Nah, I got a hot date in the foyer with this blonde girl, his girlfriend." It was a joke. And then I see him just like push the chair over and run for me. So I run. That sounds funny now, was it? And I thought he was joking, and so he ran and he hugged me and pushed me through the doors into the bar, and I'm yelling out, he's hugging me, he loves me. And then he started screaming, "Don't disrespect my missus." And then I sort of almost fell over. I could see her out the corner of my eye just going, "Oh God." Another Saturday night with Gary. So all the bouncers grabbed him, and it was so, and then I just kept thinking, "Oh my God, he's serious." And then I walked back through the crowd and there was this huge dude and he goes, "Man, I fucking love that. I love that finish you did. It was fantastic."
We loved him coming on. Yeah, Dave. That's great.
He said, "Did you organise that?" I went, "No. I didn't organise a psycho guy neck tattoos to bash me." Yeah, you got to be careful. I'm lucky that venue had security because like a lot of venues just don't have security.
You got to see Dave O'Neill. He puts a lot of work into it now.
He's got a bloke. He's got an actor that's just down the front.
Yeah, he's got an actor. Everything. It's great.
It's like he looks like one of Chopper's henchmen down the front. Heckling him. He's got a blonde actress that works with him. Must cost him a lot of money.
You swear the screams were real.
He looked really scared.
Yeah.
As the guy grappled with him on the ground.
He just had a water balloon down his pants the whole time. He was...
Wee-wee. Oh. So anyway, we've got some debrief questions. What went well tonight and why, guys?
I think what went well tonight was that they seemed to be quite open to having some fun.
Yeah, they were good, weren't they?
Yeah.
Well, they all paid money to
them. That helped us.
What didn't go well?
I think what didn't go well, I've got a fair bit of stuff I've been doing lately about my dad and the... The drone stuff and all that. He wants to get rid of the cockatoos on the pecan nut farm with a robotics course, you know?
Yeah, that's right.
And
so that's all true.
Yeah, that's all true, yeah. So I kind of knew it wouldn't work tonight, but I had to, because I'm doing it for my festival show.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's all about me. I took all these courses. And I thought, well, I'll try a bit out tonight, but you realise that, and I kind of thought it wouldn't work, but I thought, what if the chance it does work?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like try it.
If it works in sale...
It'll work anywhere.
...on a porch...
Yeah.
...then it's going to work...
I would have said veranda.
...in Melbourne. Yeah, if it works in sale on a veranda...
And a well-built one, too.
...it is definitely going to work with the people a bunch of people who've paid to see you in Melbourne.
Yeah, true.
At 8 o'clock at night.
Yeah,
in a very nice venue.
Where's the venue?
What are you doing?
Belleville.
Belleville?
Yeah, I've always wanted to play there. There's a bunch of guys who run the Butterfly Club.
Oh, okay.
And there's like this kind of, I don't know, it's like a side room to a bar, Belleville Bar.
Where is that?
Just in Chinatown.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, just off Swanston.
Little one of those little
books. Starts at 8:30, 27th of March.
Yes, yeah,
nickcabot.com.au.
What, with any organisational hazards that got no way? What
sorry?
The fire pit. Organisational hazards.
Oh, man.
Fire pit was, as I said, I love the smoke machine you provided, guys.
Oh, and did you guys get the echo whenever I yelled?
Yes!
There was a huge echo that went across the valley.
I couldn't hear that over the laughter.
And also, how can we do better next time?
Not go to sale, I think.
Mate. Yeah.
Get closer to home.
I think I'll get shorter and punchier. I'll plan out my set a bit more with more short, punchier jokes.
That's a Traugle McDonald's. I've been in there. They've got like a velvet rope. They've got a bouncer and they've got a velvet rope like you're lining up in a nightclub.
Really?
No, let's not go. I can't eat McDonald's.
They had that in Newcastle.
I love McDonald's, but I'm seeing my twin brother soon, who's a lot skinnier than me, so I'm trying to lose weight.
He talks with the accent.
Yes, right? He speaks like this, that's right, Nick. Nick, it's very interesting what you do, but what I do is so much more complicated than you. All right, what do you do? No, it's hard to explain. Have a crack.
You never understand.
Do you know what your brother does?
Yeah, yeah, he goes... Well, I had him on ABC Radio once, and he goes, "It's very hard to explain what I do." I said, "Well, have a crack. People listen to ABC; they're intelligent." He goes, "I go to third world countries and I assess their aid programs."
Oh.
Well, that's pretty simple. So you walk around the clipboard, and you go, "The water's not working. We should get on." He goes, "Yeah, basically." Oh, well, there we go.
Basically, the whole thing's fucked.
Yeah. He goes to the Congo a lot, which he said is fascinating. Anyway, so
there's a KFC here, and I want to see if it's open.
Yeah, do you want to go?
Is it okay if we go? It doesn't look open. Because they never open them late, KFC.
No, we're in Traralgon though, mate.
Lights are on.
Do you want to just drop in and see your mate for the powder?
Do you reckon?
No, they've stacked up the chairs.
No, they haven't.
Well, we can try the drive-through, all right, guys? Just
now, the only reason I'm interested in this is because I really want to have a leak, so...
Oh, okay. Yeah. What song should we play? What music should we play? What did we play with you, Tolkien? We played...
I can't remember.
We played some opera or something, but Kappa, we played Ween with you, didn't we? I love Ween.
Ween was real good. But we listened to... When we got in the car, they were playing a great song by Blake Mills.
Blake Mills?
Yeah.
What song was that? That was...
Hi Ho.
Hi Ho.
Yeah, let's play that.
Let's play that.
Yeah, that was a really good song. As soon as I love hearing a good new song.
Yeah.
A good new song is
and
great.
And this one's got a great guitar kind of lick.
Yeah, it's cool.
Where it's kind of like a non-intrusive type lick.
It's fun. It's a fun song.
Do you want me to just ram rate it? Well, yeah, reckon we got open. Do you want me to ram rate it?
Yeah.
What happens if a drive-through is closed? You have to reverse out of.
I'm going to jump out of the car.
You just drive through, mate. What do you want? What do you want?
If they're there, I want a 3-piece pack.
Okay. Anything else?
No. 3-piece box.
Two.
Would you guys have one of those?
Yeah.
One piece.
Yeah.
I don't want a piece. Hello.
What can I get for you?
Can I get a 3-piece pack, please?
Yeah, it sounds a regular.
Maybe we get large, because so.
Okay. Yeah. Large. Yeah.
Drink?
Do you like Mountain Dew?
Of course I don't like it. Do I come from the hillbilly territory? I don't like Mountain Dew.
Okay. Maybe we get...
Pepsi Max?
Yeah, anything else?
Ah, no. Pepsi drink. Max, because he wants to see his twin brother.
Are there any chips?
Yeah, there's chips with this. That's why I got the large pack.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Did you want anything extra? 3 pieces of chicken.
No, I don't know.
You don't want a piece of chicken, you just want chips.
I'll just have... Nothing.
Where did Tolka? He's gone.
He's gone. He ran out of the car. It was very odd.
Some sirens if you can't hear him. I think.
All right.
How's going?
How are you?
So, a 3-piece box upsize, just
$13.85.
You
want to see? No, I'll shout your KFC, mate.
Oh, mate. You're a real
gentleman.
Real gentleman. You know how to get to a man's heart.
Thank you.
See you later.
Oh, we've got to drive here, do we? Why do I not know how a drive-through works? I'm pretending I haven't been to one.
It looked like a ghost town. It looked like it wasn't.
I didn't think it was open.
Yeah, I didn't think it was even open.
You know, my brother worked in KFC in the 70s.
We've really annoyed a lot of people. I think they're all closing up. There's a bloke doing a
mop
stock
on the
tape.
Floor. There's a bloke doing a stock tape. Yeah, my brother used to work for KFC in the 70s.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I do this in stand-up, but we didn't have chicken as kids because Dad went to the Vietnam War and had chicken every day on the Air Force Base. And so he came back from the war and he goes, to my mum, his wife, I don't want chicken anymore. I've had too much chicken. Chicken in Vietnam was rubbish. And so we didn't have chicken. And then Mark got a job at KFC in Nunawani and he would bring home a bucket on a Friday night and me and my twin would be in our separate beds and about 11 o'clock he'd stand in the doorway with a crazed look and he'd go, you guys want to try some chicken? We're like, yeah, and he'd throw bits of chicken at us. God, that's good memories. Getting a wing thrown at you at 11 o'clock at night. And Dad would come get out of bed. Bloody, don't get chicken in my house.
He was really
He's very anti-chicken.
Didn't like chicken.
He likes chicken now, though. He loves a Palmer. Now. Yeah, he goes to these pubs. Where I went to one of them with him. Him and Mum go to the pub every Wednesday because there's TABs there. They're bettors.
Oh,
they're
really?
Gamblers, basically.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, they've got good Palmers here. Palmer and pot, $8. I'm like, well, it's not going to be that good if it's $8.
How's it going?
Yeah, good.
There's a drink.
Do you want that or?
No, you have a man.
Oh, I'll have that.
We got. How many travellers do they give you at these?
I got 3.
See you later.
Thank you very much. And so he went back to Vietnam for a holiday and he went back to his Air Force base and he goes, bloody hell, there are all these bloody Viet Cong tunnels underneath our base. He just said there was tunnels everywhere underneath the base where he would live and sleep every day.
Jesus Christ.
Full of chickens.
Full of chickens. Pocket! Bloody bad chickens. Viet Cong chickens. Ah, bloody hell. No.
Chickens,
no.
Oh, no. This is taking us down.
Oh, we're right. Anyway, let's hear some music. Who are we playing again?
Blake Mills.
Yeah.
Is it?
Blake Mills. We're going to do an illegal turn. There's no cops out there.
An illegal turn? No. Just do it, mate.
This.
Just do it.
Imagine if I get pulled over in Traralgon. Oh, there's not.
Yeah.
Ooh. Thanks for coming on the podcast. And Nick Cabba's doing festival shows. You can follow him on Kappa Flapper, Twitter.
Yeah, Kappa Flapper.
Dave Tolk is Tolkie Babble on Twitter.
Yes.
Are you doing any festival shows?
No, I'm not, mate. No. I'm just going to be hanging around.
You've been hanging around.
Yeah.
So signing autographs.
Buy me a drink. Do it.
Excellent.
Doing a lot of spots.
Yep. Do
taking,
a lot
Anyone got any black powder? Come and see me after the show.
Let's go to Shane's house at Terralka now. Do you know the way?
Oh, this is so... I'm bringing back memories. We just went past the Terralka station.
What is that noise?
What are you doing there, Tolk?
It's distorting. You're getting memories, sorry?
Yeah, I'm getting memories. I'm getting off of the train station. They had this terrible pizza place, right?
Yeah.
And it was all right. It wasn't bad, actually. But there was a blind guy that came up, and then the pizza place said, oh, we're closed. Go up to Domino's. And they led the blind guy into Domino's. I was like, oh, I feel sorry for that guy. Came to get a Terralkan pizza and gets fucking shafted. They just lead him into Domino's.
Jesus Christ. What's happening in Terralkan?